Today we are finishing up our series, Losing My Religion, Losing My Religion. And I think this series has been really helpful. A lot of people have shared that it's been helpful for them because they've experienced some church hurt in their past. There's some difficult things, and I get it. I totally get it. I remember when I was like really getting serious about going to be a pastor, and I was finishing up college, and I was thinking about seminary and all that stuff so I can get trained. I met with my pastor at the time in our college church. It was a church in a different denomination, and I met with him, and I was asking for some advice, and he said, "Well, Matt, have you spoken in tongues before?" I was like, no, I haven't ever done that. Like, I know that's a thing. It's in the Bible. It's great. I've just never done it. I'm open to it. I've just never spoken in tongues. He's like, "Well, you can't be a pastor in our denomination if you haven't spoken in tongues." I was like, "Well, closed door," right in my face. And I was like, "Oh, okay." A few years later, I did go through seminary, and then I was applying for jobs as this young 23-year-old trying to get a job as a pastor in one church I was excited about, seemed promising. They asked me, said, "What's your position on the rapture?" And when I told them, they said, "Well, that's not what we believe. You can't be our pastor." I was like, "Whoa, okay. Kind of a specific thing. Okay." I did go and be a pastor somewhere else. And then a few years after that, Melissa and I were hoping to come back to Colorado, and I applied at a church. I interviewed there. Things were going really well. And it was before we came here, and I was in the interview. And they were like, "Hey, you'll come over to our house. We'll have lunch. It'll be great. We'll get to know each other." And it turned into an 8-hour interrogation. Okay. And I remember this because Melissa was pregnant with McKinley at the time. And she was like, 8 hours, like, "Let me out of here. This is too long for me." And I answered question after question of just this, the minutia of theology about my position on the most specific things in the world. And I got finished, and I was like, "Well, I don't know how I did." And they're like, "Wow, you did great. We really love you. You answered everything like we wanted." And I was like, "Really?" I was like, but what I realized was like, they might want me at that point, but I don't want them. Because it's not that we might agree on every little tiny thing, every iota, but that's not the kind of church I want to be a part of that cares that much about the tiny little things. Because it's so easy for us as religious people to focus on the minutia, these tiny little details. And it's not that they don't matter, but it's that there's other things that matter more. And when we focus on these minor things, we have a bunch of sayings for it in our culture, right? That you can miss the forest for the trees. You don't see the big picture. Or another saying, you get lost in the weeds, right? So it can happen. So the title of my message today is Lost in the Herbs. Okay, you're gonna understand why here in just a minute. It does not say lost in the herb. That is something else that happens here in Colorado. We'll have a different message for that another day. We're talking about the herbs with an S, like the ones that you grow in your garden, or maybe you planted them this weekend and they got destroyed in the snow yesterday. Lost in the herbs. And we're gonna be again in Matthew chapter 23 for this message. And in this whole series has been talking about losing my religion, because there are aspects that we become more and more religious, and they're not actually good things. They're things that Jesus came to confront. So I'm hoping that we can lose some of our religiosity, lose some of those things that have become baggage. In week one, Jesus, we read his statements that he was confronting the religious leaders of his day. And it was that we'd become hypocrites. We'd put on a mask to fake that we're good people, like pretend, even though we all got messed up stuff in our lives. And so I was challenging you guys in that message to lose the mask. Let's just be honest and vulnerable. We have problems, we have issues, we're all sinners. Saved by grace. So lose the mask was week one. Week two, we talked about how religious people like to decide who's in and who's out, who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. But that's not our job, nor is it our time yet. Okay, judgment's coming later. So I challenge you, don't shut the door, show the way. Show the way. And then last week in week three, we focused on all the little rules that religious people make, rule after rule after rule, and it's hard to remember all of them. And we talked about how they're fences. And these fences get in the way often of what we can do, and they become these barriers. So we challenge you to move from fences to freedom. So I hope you guys have begun to find that freedom in Christ. So today, my challenge to you from God's word is don't get lost in the herbs. Don't get lost in the herbs. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 23 again. This is one of Jesus's maybe infamous messages to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, as he called them out. So I wanna call us out as well. So let's look at Matthew chapter 23. We're gonna focus on two verses today, verses 23 and 24. If you have your smartphone, you can use that, download the YouVersion Bible app, find our Rise Church Denver event right there in the app and save it so you can have the note and the scriptures that we'll be covering today. But let's read together Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 23. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel." Man, I love the Jesus of this chapter, don't you? He's confronting religious people. He's confronting us with what we need to hear. And what he's saying to them is that they're focusing on the minutiae and they're forgetting the bigger picture, right? They're getting lost in the herbs. And specifically, he's talking about one of their behaviors, one of their practices. Look at verse 23 again. He says, "You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin." Mint, dill, and cumin. Now, I looked these up. And I didn't know this, but a spice, it comes from a seed, and an herb is more of the plant, okay, the leaves. So technically, both mint and dill are herbs, okay? And just cumin is a spice in our way of doing things, so I'm calling them all herbs, okay? And if you're like, "Well, Matt, they're not all technically herbs," well, you're one of those people that are getting lost in the herbs, okay? This is not about the minutiae. It's about the herbs, right? Okay, and I don't want you to get lost in them, because what the Pharisees were doing was giving a tenth of them. This is technically a tithe. God had commanded in the Old Testament his people to bring a tithe to the temple, because there were priests and there were different people that worked in the temple for God, and they couldn't be out in the fields. They were working in the temple, so God's people were the ones who were supposed to bring literally the crops of their field and their animals to the priests so that they would have something to eat. Okay, so to take care of all the things that were going in there. This was the tithe, the tenth, literally a 10% of everything they brought in. Now, this was for all of the crops of their field. So what the religious people were like, "Well, if we're bringing the crops from our field, what about our little gardens for our houses?" Okay, these are gardens just for our own personal consumption that we have, mint, dill, cumin. You might have some other spices and herbs that are growing in their gardens. Jesus just picks three of them and he's saying, "You guys are so focused on doing what is right, good. You're giving a tenth of all your produce and a tenth of all your herb garden." He's like, "That's fine, but that is such the minutiae that you're missing the bigger picture of what's important, what's really matters." And I do think it's interesting. I don't know if you guys grow herbs, but if you really think about what is growing. So we don't personally grow mint in our garden, but our neighbor does, so we're growing some mint as well. Now, I kid you not with this. This is an interesting thing. The Pharisees argued about this, and actually after the time of Jesus, they decided, okay, you do have to tithe your cumin and your dill, but not your mint. And I think it's because mint just grows everywhere. It's a weed, okay? And I just went to my side yard where my mint is now growing, and I pulled some mint out. So let me show you what my mint looks like. Here's just 10 sprigs of mint that I pulled this morning from our side yard. Smells good. So does our entire alley now. It smells like mint, okay? And you see this, like this is great. Here's all these 10 sprigs. So if I was like, "I got 10 sprigs of mint," and I come in to the priest and say, "Here you go." And Jesus is like, "That's fine, but that's not gonna feed anybody, right?" Is it like really worth it to worry and focus so much on this little tiny detail? Little sprig of mint. If you wanna come in and bring me some mint, that's fine. I'll drink it as tea, okay? But it's such a minor thing. The same thing, like, let's see what else I got in here. We got some cumin and some dill, okay? Now, if I was like, "Okay, I'm bringing some of this in, but this is all that we grew in our garden this year. So here, let me get out these tweezers and like let's count each one of these seeds to make sure we have the right amount." Do you understand why Jesus is making fun of the Pharisees right here? He really is. He's telling some jokes here. He's like, are you guys kidding? You're focused so much on these details. And he actually doesn't say that's wrong. It doesn't say that's wrong. If you're really trying to be faithful to God and you're like, I'm gonna make sure that I'm giving a 10% of every single thing to him. God's like, great. The problem is we forget the bigger things when we focus on these tiny little things. We get lost in the herbs. Jesus tells, so this is kind of his example of what they're doing wrong. And it's just one example. There's other examples that we'll talk about in a second. But then he gives another analogy. Then this one's even funnier. Look at verse 24 again with me. Jesus says, you blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Did you know Jesus told jokes? Some of you guys read this and you're like, oh my gosh, he must have been pious, like holy. No, he's telling a joke here, making fun of the Pharisees. Do you see how absurd this is? He's like, and there was some cultural things here that maybe we don't understand. Because in the Old Testament law, it says that you cannot drink any water that's been contaminated by a dead creature. Because the water isn't just gross, like we would think, ooh, I don't wanna drink any bugs. Who cares how much protein it gives me? Like we don't, that's gross to us. But it was actually unclean according to their ceremonial customs. You'd be unclean. So what they would do is they'd look in their drinking water and they would take like some cloth and they would strain the water to make sure that they would not even drink a gnat. Cool, because a gnat is a bug, it's unclean. But you know what's also unclean? A camel. And can you imagine someone drinking a camel? So Jesus wants us to imagine. So I wanna direct your attention to the back of the auditorium. I need another prop. Sam, could you let in the camel right now? I'm kidding. Who in here actually looked back there, okay? No, in fact, I'm not gonna allow a camel in our auditorium after what happened in this video. I want you guys to see what happened the last time a church brought a camel in their auditorium. See that? Man, that is a Christmas pageant you will never forget. Yeah, camel just fell right on those four people in those pews, right? Woo! So do you see how absurd it is? You're not gonna miss a camel, right? They're gigantic. They were probably the biggest of the unclean animals in ancient Israel. So Jesus is like, you're straining out that tiny little gnat, but you're missing the gigantic camel. You see this? He's saying you're getting lost in the herbs. You're getting lost in the herbs. And this is so important because religious people can do this so often. And what I would say is sometimes it is behaviors. Tithing is a behavior. Like this is a good behavior. And sometimes people get messed up with even that one. They're like, okay, well, how much are you supposed to tithe? Is it net or gross? Guess what? Most of you guys don't have that problem, okay? Just saying. Okay, net or gross? Like, okay, is it that? Or what about your non-cash benefits? Do you have to tithe on those? Okay, you might have to pay taxes on those. Do you need to tithe on those things? Okay, people can debate this stuff. People debate whether, okay, do you give it all to the church or what about the nonprofits, the poor, and the missionaries you support? Does that come out of your tithe or is that an addition? People argue about this stuff today. That's getting lost in the weeds, lost in the herbs. And I'm gonna tell you that we are not under the Old Testament law, guys. I would love to be able to sit down with you, look at your bank account and tell you how much you need to give. Okay, but I'm not gonna do that. What we're actually told in the New Testament that each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So we should be giving. And there's some other principles in there, just like this, just in case you're wondering, you should be giving proportionally. How much you bring in, proportionally you should give out. You should also give sacrificially. It tells us that in the scriptures. So if you're giving even 10% and it doesn't feel like it's hurting you, you're probably not giving enough. And you should also be giving generously to both the church and the poor. Are you doing those things? That's what we should focus on, not the little details of how much and what, you know, what things do you count or not. But people do that. There's other behaviors people focus on, whether it's marriage or parenting. This is a big one. People get really stuck, Christians do, in the details of how to parent. Okay, we're supposed to discipline. Do I need to spank? Oh, you use your hand? You're abusive. I use a stick, that's not. Okay, what? Okay, this is what we do. Okay, you gotta train your kids every single night. You better do a devotional. That doesn't count. You need to catechize your kids. Some of you are like, you better not catechize your kids. That sounds terrible. Okay, you don't even know what that means. But people debate these little tiny details of behavior in the Christian faith, and it's focusing on the minutia. Jesus never says any of those details are wrong. He's saying when we miss the bigger picture. You understand? So one way is to get stuck in the herbs, get lost in the herbs when it comes to behaviors, but also when it comes to beliefs. You know, I care very much about what I believe in my theology. I want to be as accurate as possible when I teach and preach. I love theology. In fact, I am a master of the divine. I don't know if you guys know that. That's my degree, master of divinity. I studied 3 years theology, and I continue to read theology and love it. I want to get the details right. I care about it. But sometimes we can get so focused on these tiny little details of like the timing of the rapture or what's actually happening when you take communion, okay? We fight about these little details. What's your position on soteriology and eschatology? Like, people debate this kind of stuff. And when we focus on those tiny little details, we actually miss the more important things. We're neglecting what really matters. Jesus is telling us, don't get lost in the herbs. Don't get lost in the herbs. Don't get lost in the herbs. So what are we supposed to focus on? Thankfully, Jesus tells us at least 3 things. Now, I don't think this is an exhaustive list of the most important things according to Jesus. I think just like he gave us 3 herbs, now he's giving us 3 principles to focus on. But let's at least listen to the 3 things that we should be focusing on as Christians. Read with me again in verse 23. Jesus says, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Did you know there are some things that matter more in the Bible than other things? That's what Jesus is saying. This is interesting, especially when it comes to sin. A lot of Christians like to say, well, sin is sin. They're all bad. Whether you lie or you murder someone, it's just as bad. That's probably not true. Like, murder's a little bit worse, okay? Sin is sin, and all sin will take you away from God, but there are some things that are heavier than other things. That's in the negative with sin. In the positive, there are things that we should do that are actually more important than other things. That's what Jesus is telling us. And we shouldn't miss the forest for the trees. We shouldn't get lost in the herbs and realize that Jesus wants us to be people of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These are 3 things that are taught again and again in the Old Testament, what Jesus is talking about, especially by the prophets, because the religious people of God were missing the big things for the little things. They were getting lost in the herbs. So Isaiah was one example. When he starts his gigantic prophecy in chapter 1, he says this, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the cause of the widow. We must be people of justice, he's saying. There are people that are downtrodden who are not getting the respect and equal treatment that they deserve because they're the marginalized of our society. And God is calling us to be people who show justice. What about mercy? In Hosea 6:6, God says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice." This is actually a verse that Jesus would quote on at least 3 different occasions. Now, this is a huge thing because according to Old Testament worship, you were supposed to come and you were supposed to bring a sacrifice, an animal or some grain, and you'd come and you'd light it on fire. You'd offer it as a sacrifice. That was the way to worship God, right? And God's like, no, I don't want sacrifices. I want you to show mercy to people, to show kindness and love. Mercy is undeserved kindness. And God is saying, I've shown that to you. Why aren't you showing that to others? The 3rd one, faithfulness. This might come from a place like Habakkuk 2:4. The righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Do you want to be right with God? Be faithful to God. We learned this in our series. We had a whole message just on this verse in our Habakkuk series back in February. Because faithfulness means taking the next step of obedience no matter what you see around you. I'm going to follow God and I'm going to be faithful to him. And I'm going to do it no matter what's going on. And Jesus is saying, that is what God is looking for. Those are the people he declares right, those who are faithful. It's interesting, Jesus has these 3, and it might come from something that even the prophet Micah said. There's an interesting verse in Micah 6:8, very famous verse, where God says, or Micah says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Because to walk humbly is that step of faithfulness. This is what God is looking for. He's made it clear again and again and again, and yet you're so focused on a sprig of mint. You're missing the weightier things, the more important things. And we can't do that. So let's talk about these three things, because Christians right now have a bad reputation. We've talked about it this whole series. That's why people like Gandhi said, "I like your Christ, not your Christians." Religious people can cause more harm than good, a lot of people feel. And I think it's because we're missing this. And Jesus is telling us, and I'm gonna tell you this, like if we wanna change our reputation, we've gotta focus on these things. And it will in turn actually change the world. We don't just wanna change how people see us, we wanna change the world. And Jesus is saying, focus on these three things. They're more important than your herbs. So let's look at these three things. Justice, the first one. Justice means treating people equally and rightly. This means every single person, no matter how much money they have, their income stream, no matter what car they drive or the clothes they wear, we treat them the same as the poor who have nothing. We treat the custodian and the CEO the same. It's justice. It's to act rightly, and if something bad happens to a person, they get justice. We should be people of justice. Our world has really grabbed onto this idea of justice over the last, I'd say, 10, 15 years. And it's good, it's a biblical idea. God is a God of justice. When people do wrong, he wants to make it right, and we should do the same. That we should fight things that are happening in our society like sex trafficking or payday loans. You don't realize that these apps that are giving people money are charging so high of interest rates that are crippling the poor who are struggling the most. That's injustice. We should be people who stand up against those things. This is the same thing in whatever our spheres of influence are, in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces, or the organizations we work in and lead. Whenever we see an injustice, we should fight against it. Is a woman, a minority, somebody from a disadvantaged class, are they getting treated poorly? That's injustice. We must work hard for justice. We use our voices, we use our votes, and we use our lives to bring justice to our world. That's what Jesus said, is the weightier matter of the law, that we become people of justice, that we should fight racism, we should fight gender disparity, that we must be people of justice. But there's a second thing that Jesus said, right? Mercy. And I think that this is probably more important than justice. And that's what Jesus' brother James would say, that mercy triumphs over judgment. Because justice is important, but we also must have mercy. And I think our society is starting to recognize this. Because for a while now, it's been call people out and cancel them. If they do something wrong, that's justice. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You destroy someone, you're getting destroyed too. There was a story, it first aired on NPR, it's a true story, and I read it in an article on the New York Times by David Brooks summarizing it. It was about a young woman named Emily, and Emily was in her late 20s, and she was in a punk band, and her best friend, one of the guys in the band, had sent a sexually explicit image to a young girl. When Emily found out about it, she was angry, so she went on Facebook calling out her best friend, and saying, "I can't have anything to do with him. He is evil and wrong." They kicked him out of the band. He got kind of canceled from the entire punk scene. He ended up losing his job and having to move states, and he had no friends. It was justice, right? Well, then the same thing happened to Emily. Somebody found a post from her social media when she was in high school when she cyberbullied another person. When that got out, she had the same thing happen. Kicked out of the band, lost her job, lost all of her friends, canceled from the scene. It's justice, right? She said she felt so miserable and ashamed, she didn't even leave her apartment for months. But that's justice, right? It's justice without mercy. And I think what our society is craving more than ever is mercy, because mercy is undeserved kindness. It's a kindness you don't deserve. It's a forgiveness that you should not get. But Jesus calls us to be people of mercy. It's interesting in that article about that story I just told you, David Brooks summarized it by saying this. He said, even the quest for justice can turn into barbarism if it is not infused with a quality of mercy. We need mercy. We need people who will actually forgive the person who has done wrong. Let me tell you about a judge named Donald McDonough. I love this story because he saw 150 cases every Friday having to do with like a landlord and someone leasing. 150 cases. I did the math on this. This is like he spent 3 minutes a case. So he's moving quickly, giving judgments, right? But then he got stopped because in came to his court a couple who was living in a house, and the couple was both deaf. And their landlord was trying to evict them because they owed $250 that they couldn't pay. Now, justice says they signed a lease. They didn't pay what they should have. They should get evicted. That is justice. But there's no mercy there. So the judge stopped the proceedings, went into the back, and came out with two $100 bills and a $50 bill, and he handed it to the landlord. That's mercy. Undeserved kindness, especially for those who are marginalized. And Jesus says, we must be people who major on mercy. And why shouldn't we? Because we are people who have received so much mercy. We are all sinners. We have all done wrong, and we have turned our back on God, and yet still he sent his own son, Jesus, to die on our cross in our place. He took the punishment we deserve, and we get his rewards that we don't deserve. That's why mercy triumphs over judgment. And we have been shown love and grace and mercy. How can we not then extend it to others? Let me tell you, if you have had mercy coming in, mercy must go out. If you had grace coming in, grace must go out. Do not get grace dissipated. Okay? Got some problems in the pipes out here, okay? Grace comes in, grace goes out. Jesus told a whole parable about this. If we have been shown mercy, we should be people of mercy. We should not be people who hold grudges. Okay? Some of you got a grudge right now going back years. You better forgive that person. They don't deserve it, but that's what mercy is. Undeserved kindness. We should be quick to forgive, to show love, especially to those who are marginalized. Let me tell you this, I got convicted about this last week. Our family ate at a restaurant here in the area. And when we were sitting down for a restaurant, they brought out our food. And right then, two immigrant children, Venezuelans, I'm sure, couldn't have been older than 6 or 7. They both came up to our table begging for food in the restaurant. Do you know what my instinct was? I shoot them away. I've experienced this in third world countries, so I just said, no, shoot them away. Melissa had never seen it. She's like, what's going on? What were they doing? And I was like, oh, they're just hungry, asking for food. And I shoot them away. I was convicted because in that moment, I was not a person of mercy. And I felt real convicted about this. So the next day I had a gift card in my car and I found a mom with a young girl begging on the side, another Venezuelan. And I said, here's a gift card to McDonald's. I don't need it. You do. Because we need to be people like that of mercy. And I'm telling you, every single one of us needs to major on that, not the minutia of theology. Preaching to myself here. Mercy. And the third thing Jesus says is that we should be people of faithfulness. We should be people of faithfulness. This means walking with God, taking the next step, even if you can't see what's around the corner. No matter what, we're gonna be faithful. I'm gonna keep walking with God because it's the righteous are saved by faith. And it's our faith in God that covers over all of our sin and all of our hypocrisy, right? We need that mercy. We need that love from God. So we need to keep walking in faithfulness. So I preached a message on that verse, the righteous will live by faith from Habakkuk. And these are the 3 points, just a reminder. One, faithfulness is not self-reliance. Because we have a God that's faithful, we screw up. And we need to not rely on ourselves in pride and say, I'm good, I've got it together. No self-reliance. There is a humility about our faith. Second thing is we have God-fidence. Because we can step forward with whatever is going with the confidence that comes from God. Not because I've got it, but because God's got it. And the third thing is that faith never lets go. We need people of faithfulness because our world sometimes looks scary. Things are going poorly. We look, the stock market might crash. The housing market might come down. There might be war. There's nuclear arms. We don't know what's gonna happen in our country, but we should be the people who are moving forward, not in fear, but in faithfulness. That's what our world needs. Our world has enough religious hypocrites everywhere. And they're looking all around, and Jesus is like, forget about the mint. I mean, fine, if you wanna give your mint, give your mint. But don't get lost in the herbs. Instead, let's be transformed to be people of justice, of mercy, of faithfulness. And if we do that, people are gonna look at us and they say, I want that. They won't say, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. They'll say, I like your Christians. That Jesus, that Christ must be amazing. Could you imagine what would happen if we walked out of here to be those people of justice, mercy, and faithfulness? How much it would transform our world? There are 350,000 unchurched men, women, and children in a 5-mile radius of this church. There are twice as many dogs as there are Christians around here. There are people who need the life-transforming message of Jesus Christ, and we are the ones who have been called to give it to them, to show love where there is no love, to give hope where there's only hurt and hopelessness. And in order to do that, we can't get lost in the herbs. Let's focus on what really matters: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord God, I've been convicted by this passage. I realize I have a lot of religiousness, that sometimes I get so focused on these little details, I forget what really matters. Lord God, bring that to mind, bring that to the forefront of every single one of our minds and hearts, that we would walk out of here changed, that we'd be people who do justice, who love mercy, and walk humbly in faithfulness with you. Not because we're doing it to get saved, but because we are saved, because we are loved, because we have been shown mercy. Lord God, help us change the atmosphere of our city through your love. Transform us, through us transform the world. Now with eyes closed, maybe you've heard this message and something spoke to your heart and you realize that you need the mercy of God in your life. You need forgiveness for things that you have done. And if that's you, I wanna tell you that Jesus will forgive you right now. He will give you mercy. He died on the cross to forgive you of your sins and to give you new life. But you've got to put your faith and trust in him. So I'm gonna give you a simple prayer that you can pray. And we're told in the scriptures that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in that promise, I'm gonna give you a simple prayer that you can repeat after me. And if you're already a follower of Jesus, say this prayer out loud to give courage to somebody who needs to pray it for the first time. So please repeat after me. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. Save me, forgive me, show me mercy. In faith, I declare, Jesus is Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me to follow you and not get lost in the herbs. Now with eyes closed, if you said that prayer for the first time and meant it, if Jesus today is your Lord and Savior, we wanna celebrate with you and we wanna even give you a little book to help you on your faith journey. So could you put your hand in the air on the count of three? 1, 2, 3. Put your hand high if you said that prayer for the first time. Put your hand in the air. If you're online, go to risedenver.com/follow and let us know. We would love to hear with you and follow up with you and give you that book as well. Lord God, we're just so grateful that you love us, that you call us, that you save us, that you show us mercy. So help us be the people of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Amen. Amen.